This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This episode is brought to you by the official coffee of the Chromecast podcast, Fresh Roasted Coffee, who we've partnered with to make a special edition Chrome Unboxed anniversary blend. Here at Chrome Unboxed, we're not just nerdy about Chromebooks, we're also coffee snobs. And look, we wasted a lot of time hand roasting coffee before we found Fresh Roasted Coffee, and we haven't looked back since. This coffee is roasted fresh to order, immediately packaged, nitrogen flushed, and shipped directly to your door. And although we can't officially say that this Chrome Unboxed edition tastes any better than the normal anniversary blend, that is the word around town. But don't just take our word for it. Pick up a bag for yourself and let us know what you think. You can grab a bag over at chromeunboxed.com/coffee. Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. I'm your host, not Joe Humphrey. With me today, with me today is not Gabriel Bringer. So this is Robbie Payne of Chromebox, and I am Chromebox. Gabriel. Yeah, Chromebox. That's an inside joke.
He gets it.
That never made it out of the.
This is Robbie with Chrome OS.
Yeah, Chrome. That's what it was. Chrome OS. Yeah. Then that's not like out anywhere.
No, it? God, okay. No.
Anyways. All right, I am Gabriel, and this is Robbie. Joe he's left us. He's gone. He's on the other side of the country right now. He is at the MediaTek Summit They're in Sonoma. They're
Sonoma,
in wine country in California. Yeah. So he is currently sitting in their keynote as we speak.
We saw him. We know he's there.
Yeah, we saw him. So if you, actually, it's not a live feed, so you can't watch that. But we'll get some clips from it and, you know, post some funny pictures on social so you can see it. Because
it's just like the bottom.
Yeah, what we saw was they were taking a question from the guy in the row in front of him. So you just saw from about his nose down. He's wearing his green light hoodie.
Like, that's Joe's face. Just looked like Joe. Just chin.
Yeah, you know Joe anywhere. So anyways, this is the Chromecast, our weekly roundup of what's hot in the world of Chrome OS, Google, and everything else. And today we are talking about, I have no idea because I don't have show notes because I'm not Joe. So anyway.
We're going to talk about, we got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, we do have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Try not to get off the rails.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. We've still got a lot of stuff going on this week. So we're gonna try to gun through this and get back to work. And then hopefully Joe will be back in a couple days. And I don't know. So what are we starting with?
Let's start with this guy. We actually put him up on the TV too.
This is our newest Chromebook.
Yeah. If you know anything about it, if you can make out what's on the image on the screen back here, you probably can't make it out completely.
Yeah.
That's the Surface Laptop SE.
SE, yeah.
And you'd be forgiven for not knowing what that is.
Student edition, I think, sure. Is what it stands for. Yeah. So yeah.
There was a special version of Windows apparently too that was on it. And I say that past tense.
Yeah. She no more. So, this was Microsoft's swing at Chromebooks. There was a point in time where Microsoft was developing a sort of cloud centric version of Windows for classroom and all that stuff.
Is that what SE was?
I think that was the OS originally that re-evolved and they kind of switched gears and then they launched this piece of hardware to try to compete in the classroom and...
I'm looking to see if it's even a thing anymore.
I don't think
so. It's on Microsoft's website. This is Windows 11 SE for... here it comes back. New cloud first operating system, 11 SE, okay. Built for education. It's on, you know, it's on Microsoft's site. And to be fair, you know, I thought at first when we bought this thing, the reason we couldn't find it is because they were like, oh, this didn't work. We scrapped
it.
Not the case. It is a direct sales to education.
Yeah, and that's not unusual. We had a device I had emailed our Acer rep about the other day. It was kind of an oddball Acer tablet. It was the newest version of their Tab 10, which originally came out with a Rock chip in it.
Oh my gosh, Acer's the blue one?
Yeah, so they have a Snapdragon powered one, and I was like, I would love to get my hands on this because it's smaller than the Lenovo 3. It's actually a legit straight 10-inch device like the Tab 10 was. And I'm like, that with a Snapdragon in it and a durable chassis would be great for kids. But I was told the same thing. It is only sold through wholesalers that sell directly to like education accounts and stuff.
So that's the case with this guy. So it is still for sale. Like, it's not like it's dried up and gone. It's just you can't go to Best Buy and get it because it's not the way that they market this thing. I don't know how it's selling. I've heard nothing of it for a long time. The only reason we came across this, and I don't remember, did we talk about this at all last? I don't think we did, because we hadn't made the video. We hadn't even started the video yet.
No, but I think we were talking about, I think you had ordered it.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
I think we had talked about it and mentioned it, and because it's on the certified list, right? It's like green mark. Green check mark certified.
That was part of the thing. So when we went up to New York, we've talked about that on this podcast before, but when we went up to New York and visited Google's whole studio thing, you know, they took us through their, we walked through a bunch of stuff. Yeah, shout out to Peter. If you're listening to this, man, we were tired, man.
Yeah, I feel like at one point in time we were in New Jersey. It was like, we were just all over the place.
I didn't have that many steps because we were on a plane that morning, and then we sat in an Uber to get over to Brooklyn to get checked in, and then we hopped on a train or whatever to get over to Manhattan for the evening. And I had like, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000 steps. Man, by the time we left Google, I had like 15,000. Yeah, I'm not kidding.
We ended up like 18 for the day.
It was wild because the building's huge. It's one of those like not so much a skyscraper, but super wide, like 2 blocks wide kind of
13
buildings.
Stories, really wide. And
so we were end to end in this thing and kind of looking for some stuff because to be fair, Peter doesn't work in
it's
that building.
It's not his office,
So he's just like, I think it's over here last time I was here. And so we were like running around everywhere. But in the midst of all that, he did take us by and we got to meet up. And again, we talked about all this, but we got to meet up and see the Chrome OS Flex Labs, which is only a few rooms. It's not like it's some big laboratory and they got beakers and
but
stuff.
But it's so
that
cool.
Yeah, they have a dedicated space where guys can test and guys and gals can test devices and check stuff out, but then they got this really cool room that literally is hundreds of cubby holes filled with laptops, and you know, they're it's like a file of facts of laptops. And so we were able to pull up, I mean, we were pulling out laptops like, oh, I had this thing,
yes,
I remember this thing,
so
big old
funny
chunkers, like old crusty laptops. But then we saw this guy, the Surface SE, and I was like, I have not actually seen one of these. Again, at the time I was under the assumption that you could get it at Best Buy. I just hadn't seen one, and I opened it up and it just gave me all these HP Chromebook 11 vibes. I still love that
Chromebook. If you remember that device, it was just, it looked very similar to this, maybe slightly
more pill shaped,
slightly lighter pill shaped, and then it had the little color accents on
all
it
the way
and it
here.
Just this very this looks and feels like what you would expect from an EDU
it
Chromebook
is.
Very much
but it's stylish, you know, it's not boring like a lot of
right.
education devices are. And so anyway, we were looking at it, and I want to say they told us at that point that it was on the certified list, like it had been certified. And so after that trip, the fact that we learned that certification takes it through a battery of hundreds of tests, it was like, oh well, I just assumed certification just meant, you know, we booted it, it works good.
Yeah.
You know, we actually checked it, but it doesn't. It means, you know, they check, you know, volume keys, which the volume keys on this are a little weird. I need to submit feedback on that. But the volume keys are a tad strange, and the function keys, they all technically work and they're all there, but the some
of
the keys
don't line up. The Chrome OS setting, the function key Chrome OS setting in the keyboard?
Ooh, no. Might have to go and
mess
with that later.
We can mess with that later. But yeah, it was interesting because
some of them work right out of the box. Like the brightness doesn't work until I hit function. So that does work once I hit function. But like volume up, these don't do anything until I hit function, and then they do like what the Chrome OS operating system would do. That position would
that
be full
screen.
That
toggle what actually says treat top row as function keys, so
that
may fix it. So,
but it's cool. Like I'll get into this in a second. So, we saw this device, found out it was certified, found out there were all these tests, and immediately it was like, we want to get a Chromebook that's on the list, that's got the check. Because we tried to overwrite the hard drive once with a Mac that was not on that list.
Mm-hmm.
It worked with the USB stick, but the BIOS and stuff, we just wasn't having it. It did not work out. And so we wanted to do the full install on a, now that we knew certified, it was like, this hard testing. We wanted to do it without even testing it.
Yeah.
Like, open the thing up, put the USB stick in, and boot Chrome OS.
We wanted to do one of the LG Grams, but it actually isn't on the list anymore.
There was one. I'm telling you, there was one on there, but they got pulled. So maybe once they started really testing this stuff, they might have pulled that list over from Neverware and Cloud Ready stuff, and they went back and retested and was like, this isn't quite right. So it was like kind of a perfect storm. Like, I've never had this laptop around. It was noted as the, you know, in November-ish of last year, quite a few places called it the Chromebook killer. You know, this is Microsoft's Chromebook killer. And so it's like, okay, well, you know, and then Gabe had the idea of calling it the killer Chromebook. We're going to turn this Chromebook
killer. Once every 6 months, I have a good idea.
And so we're like, perfect. This is a video that's going to accomplish multiple things.
Because it is. I mean, this is how much did we pay for this?
$170.
Really? Yeah. I thought it was like
$250. Got it on eBay. Yeah. I think it retails for like $240 or $230.
No, is it like rugged?
It is ruggedized. It can take some of the spills and some of the... I don't know that it gets mil spec or whatever.
But it's N4120.
Yeah.
So 464?
8128.
8128. Okay, mm-hmm. So here's what's interesting. You take this device in a Chromebook that's ruggedized, 8 gigs of RAM, that much storage, and the screen's not horrible. It's not great.
No, it's pretty good. It's a TFT LCD, so not quite IPS, but not a TN panel. Yeah. It looks good.
This device in the EDU space, if you were getting hold of like Promevo or one of those and buying it, this would be a $400+ device.
Yeah.
And it runs Chrome OS so much better than it runs
Windows. The little bit. So the story goes, we decided we were going to do it. Once I found one on eBay, we went and ordered it. Got here, and we were like, cool, we're just going to film this. Just going to do it. And we'll do a couple camera setups, kind of treat it like an unboxing. Whatever happens, happens. And we wanted to catch it that way. Well, I get it going. I can't get it to notice the USB stick that's got the Chrome OS Flex image on it. So I was like, okay, let me boot into it. Maybe there's something going on there.
Right.
Well, as soon as we get in there, it wants to take updates. And it's like, well, let's wait. Because we know how Windows updates go. And so I kept trying. I couldn't get it to recognize the thing. I'm like, maybe there's something on this, because it's an education device. It's locked. Like, until it's fully up to date with Windows, it's not even going to look outside the bootloader. So that's fair. I was like, I'll update it real quick. That was like 3 hours it took to get that done. And then by that time, we were like, well, we're not filming this today, because it was already in the afternoon. But right before I left, I remember you were working on something, and I was like, I can't get the bootloader to work. And I'm trying all this stuff in the BIOS and trying to get it to see it. I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. Finally figured out it was a stupid, it's got secure boot on it.
Yeah, it was a two-day ordeal, because I had gone and bought more flash drives just to see if maybe something was wrong with the flash drive. We had tried it on Robbie's MSI that we used for the golf simulator, and it's like,
I'm still not sure what happened with that.
Yeah, that was weird, because you've done it on the MSI before, haven't you? Like, run it from the stick.
Well, what's funny is I think that one of the other ones you got, I put it in the MSI, and I got Chrome OS Flex to come up. So I don't know.
We need to reformat that completely.
This is what I installed this on. Ooh. Oh, it almost went my coffee.
Is that your big one?
Yeah.
Not mine.
Not my hard drive.
Wow.
Ended up using this, because once I figured out to turn off secure boot, which I feel like Microsoft kind of took that from Google. It's a smart thing to have. You know, secure boot basically just says, hey, if the image doesn't match the image I had last time, I'm not booting.
Yeah, because OG Windows devices, you had your boot order, and if you change that order, you could boot however you wanted to. You had to know how to get there, but there wasn't really a lot of security around it. You know,
and there's still not with this. Like, I literally flipped the switch to turn it off, it restarted the BIOS, and then it saw them.
Did not give you a warning or anything?
It does. Every time you reboot, there's a huge red bar at the top, and the big unlock thing, like, ooh, you're in trouble. but, I mean, to its credit, Chrome OS does the same thing.
Right.
Like, it warns you every time, because it's not technically secure booting anymore. Anyhow, got that done and figured out Friday evening, like, okay, it's I'm seeing Chrome OS Flex come up from this thing, and it's giving me the option to go ahead and install. Gonna pause there, because I didn't want to test it. I just didn't want to. But because I had to run all those updates and I was messing with stuff, I did get to test it with Windows a little bit, like just the basic navigation. Absolute turd. I mean, so slow. Yeah. Like, and if you read The Verge's review of this thing, they call it out. I don't remember who wrote the review, but it's like that it's a shame that students are expected to do any kind of like one tab at a time, one thing at a time, which apparently Windows 11 SE on this device, I didn't even test this, but apparently opens everything. If you open an application, it always opens them full screen.
Oh,
it wants
really?
You to basically focus on the one thing at a time.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin Console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unboxed. That's cameo.com/unboxed, or click the link down in the show notes.
So I was curious to see how it would run Chrome OS, and we made the video. We'll obviously link that all in the show notes and stuff. But once we got it booted up with Chrome OS Flex on here, I mean, it's again, it's a generation old small core Intel processor.
Right.
So we're on N4500 and up now for the small cores. This is a 4000 series, which means it's a Gemini-like processor. So it's not like it's new by any stretch of the imagination. But I mean, it runs really well. It's actually pretty fun to use. And the cool part is, it's got a great keyboard on it.
Right.
A really solid, it's plastic, but it's a really
that's
solid
the thing
trackpad.
I mean, even on the cheap end, Microsoft doesn't make janky stuff.
No,
their hardware is always solid,
right? You know, so. You know what this makes me want? I might write this. This makes me want Google. Why doesn't Google make an affordable Chromebook
an EDU device
to you know, let's show what's possible on a budget,
right?
You know, how you can have thoughtful design, and you know, like Google's not going to make Chromebooks unless they're trying to light the way to something. That's fine. You know, clearly EDU Chromebooks probably could use a little kick in the pants.
And that's what
they all kind of look the same.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to know anything about what goes into the manufacturing and licensing of a Chromebook or whatever, but to see most of your decent, anything that's worth working on in the EDU space is $400 or more. Some of them are more than that. And I'm just like, I understand that they're ruggedized and they're built for the classroom, but spec-wise, they're so inferior to what's out there on the market, and you can get really powerful premium Chromebooks for $600. So
because
I can't imagine their margins are that big, so I'm just wondering what makes the overhead so high on an EDU device.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes they get priced that way because they don't really want consumers to bother.
It because if you see one that's priced at $429, schools are buying 700 of those. They're probably getting them for $280,
right?
Or
so the pricing we were talking about on this probably wouldn't be that if this was at Best Buy,
right?
This would be $350 or $400 bucks or something. But that would be a fun disruptor though to see Google come along and build something like this. It's a Pixelbook. You know, it's the Pixelbook. I don't know. What's the name? What's a name that says affordability?
Go.
That doesn't work.
Pixelbook.
They could do like Samsung and just name it the same thing and make it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the 3.
Is this
Pixelbook 3? It's worse.
It's be
How
the Pixelbook Go 180 or 178 because
like
it doesn't go all the way down. Yeah.
Anyway, but if they built something like that and you know, like something that this is thoughtfully made. Like this is actually a fun little device to mess with. The camera's pretty decent. The screen's pretty good. Keyboard's really good.
I got it.
And it's $250.
Pixelbook SE.
Write that down.
Write that down.
But I mean, if they did something like that, like think about it. They could market that.
It would
and
be
they
awesome.
Could disrupt the low end Chromebook space because then all of a sudden you've got a device that doesn't feel like 300 or less. Like
right.
Most devices under $300. Lenovo has done a good job of this.
They have.
But their stuff usually has to go on sale to hit that. But when you get the Duet 3 for under $300, it feels like you're stealing something a little bit. Like you get it out of the box and it's like, this doesn't feel like a cheap device. It doesn't have that feel. Yeah. It'd be cool to see a clamshell. It doesn't have to be a convertible. It doesn't have to do anything special. Just make a nice, thoughtful Chromebook
and Google
make it
could,
affordable.
Yeah, Google
right
could do
box.
It as a, not necessarily a loss leader, but like just minimal margin. Because
make $5 a piece.
Because for them, it's all about that license and that Chrome OS management anyway.
Yep.
So you bundle it with a Chrome OS management license, and you cut them a discount there, and boom, you just sell tons of them. Yeah, see, hey, Google, call us.
We got ideas. So like a 12-inch, like there's a couple EDU devices that are that small 12-inch, but it's a 3x2 12-inch. It's usually that 1366-ish
like HD
type thing.
Plus or something.
It's not great. Yeah. You know, 1080p style screen in a 12. Kind of take the screen that's on the, what is Samsung's thing? Samsung Galaxy Chromebook 2 360?
Yeah, there you go. Yep, you nailed it.
The worst names.
But that's why they haven't put one out in a while. They're trying to reinvent the naming scheme.
They're just like, look, we don't know what we're doing. Over. We have to try again. Like, hey, Galaxy Chromebook 2. Oh, wait, they did that already, and it was worse. They could just start over with the 3. It's Galaxy Chromebook 3. Move on.
Is it the same as the Chromebook 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
No.
Or get rid... Well, they shouldn't get rid of the Galaxy name. But anywho, you know, like, take that screen, because that's a cool screen. It's probably overkill. It's quad HD and a 12-inch screen. It's too much. Like, something between those two, good keyboard, decent speakers. It could be plastic. This is all plastic. Doesn't feel janky to use. And so we don't have to talk about this anymore, but it's really cool to see. I wanted to have it up here. We're actually casting that up there with this too. And because it's Chrome OS Flex, like, I can't stress this enough. This thing doesn't feel like a Windows device that I put some weird version of Chromium OS. Like, and this is, I mean, Google bought, is it Neverware?
Cloud Ready is the company.
Neverware
is the company. Cloud Ready is the OS, yeah.
It's not like Cloud Ready, and it's no knock to Cloud Ready. Google bought that company to create Chrome OS Flex. But when I used it, you felt it. Like, you always felt, like, because it was multiple versions behind. So the stuff that you were used to using on your Chromebook, there'd be features that just weren't here. This is in step. It's in lockstep. It's on 10. What are we on now?
Should be 7.
107?
Should be on 7.
Let me just check, make sure, so I'm not blowing smoke.
I feel like
here.
I wrote that up.
Yep, Chrome OS 107. There you go. .92, I saw my version actually today for some reason. It's the exact same version. So it's really cool to be able to use this. Again, I know people are like, well, it doesn't have Android apps. If Android apps were like perfect on Chromebooks, I would completely hear the argument there.
And that's not, honestly, Android apps are not a huge selling point, especially for budget-friendly EDU devices.
Yeah,
Android apps aren't a big deal.
Yeah, being able to use this thing as a Chromebook, you can turn Linux containers on, I think. Let's see.
Yeah, it's kind of a per device basis, but it's Intel, it should.
I don't know why you would want to do such a thing, but let's just see if it's here.
I'm going
to
run DaVinci Resolve on it. Yeah,
it's right there. I can turn it on. I'll just turn it on while we're sitting here.
Oh, geez.
sure, 10 gigs.
So this is wiped, right? This is like install.
This is full-blown install. Okay. And we did it on video, so that wasn't faked or anything like that. I did that right then just to see what happened. And it worked.
Robbie's over here making moon landing videos and stuff.
sweating, like, please work. I put like 3 days into this stupid video. But it worked. It worked perfectly. And it said the Linux environment turned on. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll get there.
But yeah, I mean, it's Chrome OS Flex is pretty amazing for that. And the whole process they go through for vetting devices and making things work is kind of mind-numbing. And we wanted to test all that. We wanted to test all that stuff out and see if we could make this little dude into a cool Chromebook. And I'm not lying to you. When I pick this up and mess with it, I might do it tomorrow, or I was going to do it maybe Monday or Tuesday. I'm going to work for a couple of days from this. I might have to change up my monitor or something, because I don't know. Who knows? I'll try to push it.
Mm-hmm.
It won't push 120 hertz, I guarantee that, but it might push my monitor at quad HD. If it'll push my second monitor, for sure. Ooh, or I can wait until the real AR.
Oh, yeah, here. That would
I
be
I got
awesome.
That on the list of things.
Yeah, we're
going to
talk
about
that after the break, but that would be really dope.
Maybe I'll wait.
Then you just close the lid and do your thing. That'd be awesome.
I know. Be wild.
So
it will be wild.
Will be. When are they going to be here? Are they here yet?
They should be here Tuesday. Monday or Tuesday.
That's a quick turnaround.
Wait.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, we'll talk more about that in a minute, but right now we're going to take a quick break for an ad, and we'll be right back.
This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service, and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, N-O-R-D.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Before the break, we mentioned a little something called InReal, and for those of you that are still with us, you might be thinking, what is InReal? I stuck around this long. Let's talk about it. So, InReal.
We mentioned this quickly last week.
We did.
It was at the end of the show. Joe was like, so, real quick, you know. And
honestly, it was something we had seen or heard about at CES 2018, I think was the original announcement.
Now, 2020 was their first time that they showed up at CES, but we didn't know anything about it, so we didn't go look at it. I saw
we were in March, I think,
during COVID. I remember seeing that this company was there with these semi-goofy looking pair of glasses, but they weren't as bad as most AR or VR glasses at the time. And so it's like, well, this is kind of a cool concept. And off the back side of it, there's a USB-C cable that just plugs into stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a pretty neat concept. But I think at the time, and I could be wrong here, but I think at the time it worked with an app on your phone, and that was kind of it. So through the app, you would see your device's interface, and you know, like you can look around and navigate or something in the old version. I don't even know what that was called, but it was cool to see someone making, because at the time, the most popular AR, I shouldn't even say popular, the most known AR thing was the HoloLens from Microsoft, which looks kind of like a motorcycle helmet on the front of your face.
Yes.
And always got dog because it had a really tiny viewing area to where it could put AR.
What did Samsung? That was just called VR, wasn't it?
Yeah, Samsung VR. Yeah, they worked with Oculus before Oculus.
Yeah, because they had
the
ride at CES that one year, which was crazy.
But. Yeah, so there's some pretty Samsung did some cool stuff in the VR space, and you've got, you know, like on the VR end, them realizing that hey, games in VR are awesome. Like Quest, we have a Meta Quest too. It's awesome. I really do enjoy playing stuff on MetaQuest with the kids and stuff. Like, our kids love using it. Like, it gets highly used. Like, I've invested in the better
you know,
headset surround. I've invested in the better thing that goes on your face. And it's awesome. They need to make a third one if they can stop, you know, just bleeding money everywhere. But the problem with VR is that it's great for games and it's okay for consumption, but it's fatiguing because the amount of processing that has to, because it's creating the whole world for you all the time. AR is a lot of people get it confused. AR is just overlaying things on the world that you see.
Right.
You know, it's Tony Stark. You know, you can see out and there's like just stuff, you know.
I mean, you're shopping on Amazon, you want to see what the dresser looks like in your bedroom.
You just look over.
Yeah.
And there it is.
So it's using real life imagery and then putting something in that space.
Yeah. And we've experienced a lot of AR with Pixel phones and stuff like that where the camera, I think they've gotten rid of that, I guess. But I remember going on vacation when it was they first in the AR characters. I remember we were going down to the cruise. So that would have been 2018.
Now, I had one pop up two or three days ago, and it was out of nowhere. It said, see this? It was like a Bengal tiger or something. I don't even know what I was searching.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of stuff. So. That's what they've kind of moved it to. You just do it in Google search.
Yeah.
It's in the Google app now. You can see stuff in your space, and you just click it, scan the room real fast, and you put whatever the thing is you're looking at. It's 3D in space. You can resize it and move it. But the cool part is, just like this dinosaur sitting here with an AR object, it's mounted to that space. So as I walk around and move the camera around, I get to look at it in space. You know, it's not just sitting there and fall. Like, it would be goofy if it was just and laid there and it moved as I moved the phone.
If you've never done it, Audi does it. I'm sure there's other that do it now. Go look at a 3D showroom of a car. It's very similar. Yeah. The AR interface.
You put the car like on the table in front of you.
It's really, really
move
cool.
It around,
you can
and
zoom
look in it.
It does, like you said, it does look a lot, you know, very much Iron Man, Tony Stark. You can like pinch zoom in and you can spin the car around, open the door, and then, you know, zoom up really close to get inside. It's
really cool.
It has a lot of really, really big potential as far as applications.
Yeah. I think AR, as far as the real world computing possibilities, far outweighs what VR will do.
Yeah.
Eventually VR will be ridiculous. The headsets won't be as big. You know, the resolution will be so high and the viewing angles will be so wide that, like, even the Quest Pro, apparently, I can't remember that it's got a fancy name for it, but it tracks your eyes and it can increase the resolution, because our eyes, like when I'm looking at you right now, my eyes could see a high resolution here, but in my peripheral, it's really blurry. Well, this thing takes advantage of that, and as you move your eyes, it adds more resolution to the point where your eyes are looking pointing. And removes it on the edges so that it can use all the processing power. It's got a really name. It is pretty awesome sounding. And apparently games that run on MetaQuest 2 can be updated to take advantage of this if they want. And so like Red Matter and Red Matter 2 have been updated with this. And so apparently it makes a huge difference because they can really crank up the look of the game and stuff. But while all that's cool, AR right now, I think, is more fundamentally useful. And so the promise that Unreal brought was like, hey, there's some stuff you can do, some games and all that kind of stuff through our interface. But ultimately, it also, you just plug it in and it can create a resizable screen that you can mount, like virtually right. mount to a spot so that if I wanted to put the screen here in my view, I can talk to you and then look over and see the screen. It's there virtually, but it's not really there.
Yeah, obviously. It makes me think of like you see the you know futuristic shows where you have the glasses or whatever and you tap and it like projects like a hologram and you see that, but without all of that. In
right.
your eyes, you see it and it's in a fixed place, fixed location.
Right.
And Robbie's idea is brilliant because it brings a whole new level to the workplace arena. You're talking about having a huge, how big does this thing do?
It says it could do up to, if you're used to the DisplayPort out, which is what it'll do with a Chromebook, up to a 201-inch display. But I don't know what distance. That all matters. Like perspective and distance matters.
Okay, let's back up here. So you're talking about like a desktop, right?
So there's a couple of ways. Like there's a Mac app with it that allows it to, via the app, mirror your desktop into three displays if you wanted to.
Okay.
But from what I've read, like, can be a little bit janky and there's a little bit of jelly scrolling.
Well, I mean, because there's a Mac involved.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Sorry.
Clear issue. And there's some Android apps that do some cool stuff too. But the bigger thing, I think, is when none of that's present and you plug this USB-C in, it has DisplayPort drivers in it.
Yep.
So you plug it in, it basically is telling whatever you're plugging into, hey, I'm a monitor, you know, and how that's all going to work, I have no idea. So I may have to do some settings in the Android app first and just plug it in. So once I've set the display of it, because it does different things. And so the idea is not unique. I wouldn't claim that I've thought of this or came up with this. Yeah. So MetaQuest Pro, one of the things I saw Marquez do, MKBHD, is it's got a bunch of cameras on the outside. So if you want to do more of an AR experience, it's using those cameras that are nice and clear, so you can see your surroundings, even though like some of the spots where it's weaving stuff together, like there's warbly lines and stuff, but you can basically see around. And then it's got your virtual screens up, but you're going to run that stuff. You got to remember, if you're going to do that, you're not just outputting your display. You're running some sort of mirroring software that's going to capture what's on your screen, run it through the software, and then re-display it in some sort of virtual screen. And Real has that that's what it's doing, like with a MacBook. And, you know, they liked my tweets about their AR thing already.
I mean,
so
there you go.
They could update and put it, all they got to do is make their Android app work with Chromebooks.
Tell them to send us like four
there.
More of them.
Yeah. We'll talk all about them. But my thought is, all I really would like for these things to do, for everything I would like to do with them, is if it's gonna just give me a display, at least a display that's in a fixed location. Again, I don't know how that will set up until we get them. You take your Chromebook, set it on your desk. I don't have anything else on my desk. I'm sitting here, plug this thing in. I, you know, virtually mount my display up here, nice and large, and that's my second display. My Chromebook, if it just thinks it's a display, it's fine. It doesn't care. I'll see my mouse. I'll be able to sit and work on a big, nice, wide second display that, you know, is comfortable for me to look at, make it larger, smaller based on it. And it's there in virtual space.
I have so many questions. Okay. First of all, is this something that it's being projected on the glasses itself, or is it the glasses projecting into your eyeballs?
So it's not like the
I mean, I know essentially the light is going into your eyeballs, but
what's it called? Is the Google's thing, Google Glass.
Yeah. Yeah.
That theirs did that. So there's some AR, some like of those things, they have little tiny projectors and they basically shoot the projection thing right into your eye,
right?
Which freaks
don't freak out, because that's what light does. That's how
that's
you see
happening
things.
With that's, this
yeah,
by the
light
way
light is hitting the back of your eyeball. It's upside down, the travels the nerve into your brain, and
brain
your brain flips
it
over. Everything you see is upside down in
also
your
also
oh yeah, this is
you have
gonna
a blind
real
spot right in the center of your vision.
Yep.
There's a test.
You know you can't see your nose until you think about it.
And then it's there,
it's right there. Yeah, it'll go away in a minute. Don't worry about it.
Your brain fixes all of it for you. So don't forget about that. But this is not that.
Okay.
These look like the newest version of these are called the Nreal Air. And the big news here is that obviously they're available for us, is that they're available in the United States now. All these years, even though they were at $400, CES,
right?
They were everywhere else. Yeah. And it's like, I'm going to have to import these things. I'm not sure. They finally launched this latest version in the U.S. at Amazon, $379. I was going to write it, but for about, I don't know, I guess it was an hour. I got lucky somehow.
Yeah.
The pair that we bought was on sale at Amazon for $169.
It was like the Fitbit where it was on like $75 for two minutes.
I'm trying to pay attention and find it. Can you set alerts on Amazon?
I should be able to.
I need to set that as an alert.
Probably the app, I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I need to do that because that was amazing. I was like, I'm going to write this thing up, you know, about what I'm going to do with it and how excited I am. And then after it, I'm going to wait a little bit and then be like, because I didn't see the deal on it until close to the end of writing the article. I'm like, well, it'd be weird to be like, oh, and by the way, you know, it's this. So I was like, I'll write a deal article later just saying, hey, if you read this and liked it, check this out.
No, you won't.
Yep, it's already gone. I was going to buy, maybe shouldn't say that.
For the office. We were going to buy one for the office.
Two for the office. Yeah. If there happened to be children in my office.
So it's on the glass itself, right?
Yeah, so and you've got the new version. They look a lot more like Ray-Bans.
Which is also mind-blowing that something projected on glass directly in your front of your face can
vocal.
Give the effect.
It's two 1080p displays.
The effect of being suspended in midair.
So if you look
at distance,
like from the side, like the fronts, these are better. The first one's like set way off your face, and then the screen was way behind it, and it's real derpy looking. These are a little bit still that way, but not nearly as much. Like from most angles, if you were at a coffee shop with these on, people would think that you're just wearing sunglasses inside.
What do I see if you're wearing them?
You wouldn't see anything.
How does that work?
It looks like dark sunglasses.
Okay.
Because the inside of the screen where it's being lit up is kind of hidden by that.
Okay.
And if you want full more immersion, it comes with like a soft thing that like a almost like a blackout for the front of the glasses. If you want to go,
that would look completely normal at the coffee shop.
Yeah, that would look real weird.
It's like, what was that Bird Box? Is that?
Yeah. I don't like to see things. I'm sorry. I don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
But yeah. So they do have it's the glasses part, and then you see like a little curved screen on the inside of them. And again, I've never used them, so I don't know.
See, I have bifocals, so that's not going to work for me because there's no room left for anything in here, so I'm not sure.
No. Yeah, I think they have...
Yeah, you had said something about they have something for like people who have corrective lenses, but I would just have to probably switch to just my main shooters.
Shooters,
and then my bifocals when I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
But my other question, one of many, is so this is a USB-C, correct?
Yeah, DisplayPort. USB-C.
So there's no real wireless option going on.
I think the only time they'll be able to move to that would be they could use millimeter wave.
Right.
Like,
because we saw that with some other company that was doing a millimeter wave smart glasses of some sort. Yeah. I saw an email from someone who was doing that, because to me that's brilliant, because what occurred to me just a minute ago when we were talking about this was we all had some of these, and all of them were connected to the same machine. Let's say they were all connected wirelessly to, I don't know, the MSI in there.
Yeah.
And we wear these while we play golf.
Yeah.
No projector. You need is a net. You can go hit anywhere.
There was a company called AR VR Golf or something like that. They had a website. They were trying to do that.
Really?
It was basically a very simple set of AR glasses that would do the projection.
Yeah.
It's all there, but you have those on while you play, and so you see the ball down in front of you. But because, again, you got to remember AR, it's not just like a screen that's going to move around as I move my head around.
No.
That screen is fixed in a particular spot. So you put the projection screen over here.
Right.
I hit
just like
would.
You had a real world projector screen over
exactly.
there.
Exactly. And that's how this thing is going to basically behave. To be honest, I mean, it would be super janky. You'd have to run a super long USB-C cable and stuff. Mm-hmm. You technically could do that.
Yeah.
You just have to have run,
or maybe
the cable
some
up
sort
your back
of
some
sort of two piece wireless transmitter or something.
Yeah,
like that. There'd be a delay. But
if there was something that was high end, but we get a little bit of delay anyway. Yeah. So Who knows? Maybe we'll rig it up.
I'm getting ideas here. This is great. Up.
We don't need a projector anymore.
So you just need a wireless DisplayPort adapter like you would a wireless HDMI adapter. Boom, boom. But I don't know how would you be able to do that with multiple devices? Will one HDMI, will one DisplayPort wireless thing
output
transmit
to multiple?
To four, three or four, yeah.
I don't know. That would be something. Everybody put your glasses on. It sounds like golf.
Got a lot of stuff to test.
The other problem with these would likely be your field of view. Like looking down at the golf ball would be probably kind of hard to see the ball. That's still an important piece of this.
You could just have one lens and the other one's just open, then you got like a cyborg thing going on.
That'd Google Glass all of a sudden. But there was a company actually working on something like that. And that's the possibilities I think that AR and VR. But then if you take this a step further, you know, I've been really enjoying playing GeForce Now on some of these gaming Chromebooks. Yeah. Well, guess what? That all works too. I could play mouse and keyboard if I want, or just push the thing to the side. Plug this in, sit back in the chair, get the controller out, expand that screen to full size, and basically be playing games in a theater.
Yeah, because
and put
that's
my earbuds in.
Yeah, that's what's crazy is that the technology, the advanced technology here is what's happening with the glasses that allows you to see what you're doing. The stuff that you're doing is stuff that we all do already.
Right.
It's just everyone here at the office has an external monitor. We all have, you know, secondary monitors and all that stuff. It's just taking that and putting it in a place where you can see it in an augmented space.
Right. And so it's larger and more immersive, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, does the screen look good? Is it going to be washed out? Is it going to be grainy? Is it going to be hard to read stuff? Like, all those things are questions that have to be answered. Don't know.
So I think about the long, long gone Father I.O. I mean, just the coolest looking shooter game, real world shooter game out there. These glasses with a game like that, it was literally just, which at the same time, this would be something that would be regulated. You'd have to do it like in areas where you can play games, because I could totally see people getting into one of these games and then running out in the middle of the street and then getting hit by a car. Heaven
in front
forbid.
Of the state theater.
Heaven forbid, because but that's the whole premise, is that you're playing a video game shooter game, but you're using the real life surroundings that you're playing in. So these glasses could make stuff like that a reality.
And down the road, I think stuff like that could happen. You know, whereas the technology finally exists. I mean, I've wanted something like this since I was a little kid. I remember seeing in like Sky Malls and stuff like that. Those type of, you know, get these glasses, you know. And do you remember Game Boy? What was it called? The red, it was the whole screen was just like red and black.
Virtual Boy. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
It was terrible. Oh, it's terrible.
Never touched one.
But the promise, you know, was like, oh, you put this thing on, you get this screen. It was, the whole thing was terrible. It was way too far ahead of its time. They tried. But I remember from that, I just always as a kid, I thought, man, what if there's these glasses and it could just put a screen up? Like, I wasn't even asking for anchoring and AR and all that stuff. Like, I don't care if the screen moves around with my head.
And I just want it to be there in real time. Yeah.
So if I'm on a trip, I've got a nice big TV screen and I'll put earphones in and I can watch a movie and you know, and it's like I've wanted that for so long, and it's like, wow, the tech's here, and it's not $5,000, it's $400.
This would be great for our last trip when we went to California a couple weeks ago. The thought occurred to me, I love flying. I had an uncle who had a small Cessna, and I love being up in the air, and I, you know, jump out of planes and stuff like that. I love that stuff. But it just occurred to me, I'm like, because one of the flights we on actually had televisions on all the seats, which was cool. But I was like,
I did get to watch some Seinfeld on that one.
Yeah, I saw Robbie was up in front of me, the seat in front of me. He was watching some Seinfeld. I don't remember what I was watching. I might have fallen asleep. I don't know. But it occurred to me, I'm like, it would be really cool if they offered, if you wanted, obviously don't force anyone to do this because a lot of people wouldn't like it, but have a camera up front or mounted in the front of the plane, jet, whatever, that people could have a captain's and co-pilot's view of the plane. And I'm like,
awesome.
This would be dope with these glasses. You just put it on and you don't even see the plane. You're just like on the front of the plane and you're just seeing. You know, it's like Titanic, 30,000 feet. You know, but whatever. So, but yeah, the concept here is incredible, and it's not a concept anymore. Obviously, this has probably been 4 or 5 years in the making, I would think.
Yeah, and the
longer.
Reviews of this version are good. Like, a lot of different tech guys have already gotten these. So in the last month, if you go look online right now in Real Air and look up review, it's hard for people to review these though, because it's very hard to capture what you're seeing.
Right.
It's pretty difficult. I've seen some people like try to put the camera up to kind of just at least get you around what's going on. And there's so many unknowns with what I plan on doing with this, with a Chromebook at this point. Now, my hope is maybe we bring enough attention to this from a Chromebook user space that they go, oh, we could, kind of like we did with the Mac, we can tweak the Android app and make this a better experience for Chrome OS users. But, you know, I'm interested, too, to see, like, what kind of stuff can I do on my phone? Because, you know, if it's just watching a movie, I don't really have to use a Chromebook, and I can really leverage the app entirely and see how it's, you know, what it feels like to watch, you know, a movie on a 200-inch screen with some earbuds in and sitting back on the couch. You know?
And then
I think about my kids. Like, it works with, it's got an adapter that works with
Switch.
Yep. And that was really interesting to me. I'm like, you know, we have our main big TV in the living room, and my daughter wants to play Fortnite on it a lot. And so it's like, when I'm games on or something, I'm like, you got to go. The Switch comes out of
get
the thing,
in the basement.
And you can go to your room and play. I wouldn't say it's like, well, we're fighting over the big TV, but you know, it's more comfortable in the living room. It just is.
And it's game day. Yeah. So get out.
And so like for her to be able to hook this whole thing in and sit in her bed and have a wall size screen to play Fortnite on her Switch, like that's really the whole thing's intriguing. So I've got like 20 different things I want to test and mess with.
And that just the practical applications, because you think about like when you're traveling or on vacation or even just at home, there are times where I'll sit down to work and you sit down on the couch with the laptop in your lap. It's not a big deal to bang out a quick article. But if I'm like really digging in and I'm like, I can't go to the office today, but I need to really dig in and do some work, how incredible to be able to just sit in the recliner and just have it right there in front of you.
Yeah.
Put in some nice noise canceling earbuds. Forget the family's
nice
there.
Big screen.
It's great.
So, and you can kind of work from a leaned back position versus, you know, like the monitors we've done, you know, here's my desktop and it fits in a bag. And those things are great. Like you can put a lot of stuff in a bag and create a pretty nice workspace, but you're usually going to be limited to a 15-inch display.
And those are more, those are more exception things. I don't know a lot of nomadic workers who work that way all the time. That would be a really hard lifestyle to get used to. Yeah. So
set it all up. Now, I got pretty good at it during COVID.
Yeah.
Because at our house, I don't have an office space. And so that was part of that whole video. If I remember, I'll try to remember to link that one in the description or in the show notes. But yeah, it was one of those ones that are one of those times that like I got really good at it out of necessity. We didn't have an office and I needed to set up a workstation. I didn't need to set up a little Chromebook and sit and stare at a small screen all day. I needed
6-8 hours doing that's just that's.
But I wasn't going to bring home a big, you know, monitor and stuff. Cause I was like, you know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Cause that's what I was going to do. But I'm like, I don't know where I would set up a desk space in my house unless kick my daughter's got a really nice vanity. I guess I could sit there and whatever.
So I sat at our kitchen table and I'd get all my stuff out and I would have this multi-monitor set up and my keyboard and the thing, you know, and at the end of the day, pack it all back down. And it did help cause it kind of created for me a space like this is work. And when I closed it up and put it back in the bag,
if you're a hybrid worker or you work from home, you know that can be difficult separating that.
Yeah,
and that,
but
so.
These glasses, who knows? And again, I hesitate only because I remember one time when 4K televisions were still pretty new. I had this idea when we were over at the other office. Were you there at that point in time? I don't remember.
Old office?
Yeah, the old co.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I bought, it wasn't quite that big, but it was probably 38-inch 4K television. And I was like, that's going to be my monitor because that means that's, if you divide the diagonal, that's 4 19-inch full HD monitors worth of pixels I've got to work with. What could go wrong? And I have sitting at the that brown table that's out there. That was in that, you know, when you first walked in the main little room in the office, that become my space. And so I put this television
that is
on
the
there.
Same table is gosh, I just realized that.
I put the TV on there and hooked my Chromebook up and it worked, you know, it outputted. But televisions versus computer monitors are different things when it comes to the way they render text and stuff like that. It was not a functional solution. And so I want to you know, I'm not like, oh, this is the future of how I'm going to work, but I'm like, if it works really well. I did see one of the reviews, the guy weighed the whole headset and it was like 80 grams or something. Like very light, so it's not like Not that light.
I have no idea what these weigh.
But you could probably wear them for a couple hours at a time and probably
fuel. Yeah.
And it's got a bunch of different nose clips and stuff to adjust to your face and all that stuff. So I am super excited. Even if it's just ends up being a thing to watch YouTube and Netflix on and to consume content and play video games on, it'll still be awesome.
Well, I can't wait till we get on another plane and just
plug that into my phone and be like,
this is gonna be great. All right,
let's
speaking of tech that is realized, stuff that we've been waiting for, this one we've been waiting for very impatiently, but this week the news came out that LumaFusion it's diffusa. If you get that, you probably have kids. LumaFusion Pro Video Editor is now officially available in beta / early access for Android and Chrome OS. It's not one of those things where it's like, oh, it's available for Android, so you can put it on Chrome OS. They are advertising this. When they tweeted it last October, they said, we are developing this for Android and Chrome OS.
And they talked about it at I.O.
And I.O. Samsung talked about it at the Unpacked event in February because they said, before too long, you'll be able to put LumaFusion on your Galaxy Tab S8. So the Samsung...
I wonder if it works well in DeX. That'd be a good selling point for Samsung. I'm not a huge fan of DeX, but DeX is still a cool concept to me.
I don't know.
It'd be neat if they made sure it worked. I mean, clearly it works well on a desktop, just do that same thing in DeX.
Yeah, so if you're not familiar, we wrote it up earlier this week, but LumaFusion, there's a lot of mobile video editors out there. Some of them are good, some of them are garbage. KiniMaster is really awesome. It's really great on phones, but it's a subscription, isn't it?
To get most of the stuff and
to get the pro features.
They added keyboard shortcuts for Chromebooks, but they never changed the interface for Chromebooks.
Right.
That's the problem.
If you go to KiniMaster's About page in the Play Store, they specifically say Chrome OS, blah, blah, blah. They have clearly not developed this app for Chrome OS. They added some shortcuts and some keyboard support, and that's it. And it's a shame because KiniMaster is really good. However, I've used a ton of online video editors. As a matter of fact, funny story, I wrote the LumaFusion article, what was that, yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, so the news was announced yesterday, or night before last. It was official yesterday morning. I had mentioned FlexClip in my article because I've used most of the major online video editors, and I will give them credit. They are great at what they do, but they're not made for really long video. They're not made for adding a ton of layers. You get into about 4 or 5 layers on one of those, and they get really choppy. Plus, you're dealing with everything's being synced in the cloud. It takes time, and a lot of times I've made 25-minute long videos for my church that they look great, whatever. You export them, and then you go to watch them, and the audio's out of sync. Whatever. Because you're dealing with something that's running off-site, but it's being rendered locally on your device. Anyway, there are some really good ones. Clipchamp is good. FlexClip is good. They emailed me last night, said thanks for the shout out. Here's a lifetime business license. So I'm going to be doing a full review of FlexClip very soon. But WeVideo is really good. InVideo is really good.
Get me wrong. I personally would love for someone to figure out web-based video editing that is pro level.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get there.
Yeah, there is something that the NFL uses where they do like real-time uploading and editing and stuff like that where it's all offloaded onto servers and that kind of
Frame.
Frame. Yeah, Frame. Is it frame.io, I think?
It's that there's two of them. There's FRA.me and then there's frame.io. One of them is a virtual machine, Windows virtual machine thing that I've messed with like for gaming and stuff like that. Gotcha. The other one is that.
But, I mean, you're talking about massive bandwidth, big servers, heavy hard. Anyway, long story short, if you're doing video editing and you're a YouTuber, you're doing whatever, online video editors are great to get started, and they're even great for making some solid, clean content. But if you're really getting serious about editing, you got a couple options, and that's either you go, Final Cut or DaVinci Resolve or a few. What's Adobe? Premiere.
Premiere,
And that's an investment, and it's a learning curve and all that. Or you go mobile, and you're limited, or they don't work well on a Chromebook. Now you have LumaFusion. It's been exclusive to iOS for a few years. It was released for Mac once they came out with their M1 chips, but now it's available for Android and Chrome OS, and it includes, I think they do up to, they do like six layers of audio and video each. They do audio ducking, which is really cool. You don't get that on, I've never seen an online video editor that does audio ducking. So it's, or auto ducking for audio. So it'll duck music when it detects speech and stuff like that. It'll automatically duck that.
I don't know anything about like, video editing.
If you look back, you just edited a video just a few months ago.
I'm a cap cut kind of guy.
Yeah, cap cut, cap wink, cap cut.
To make the, I'll make my shorts.
Chop shot.
I basically just need to cut it together and line it up and send it out the door. That's about as far as I'm going to go. But LumaFusion really does add a pro level.
Yeah, and if you want to know some more about it, I think whoever wrote the article last year, I think it was Michael, wrote the article about their tweet saying they were developing it. He put a video of Dave 2D, who edited a full video. If you know Dave 2D, David Lee.
I think, and he's done it. And what's his name? TLD. Jonathan Morrison.
Jonathan Morrison's done as well.
He did a project for another YouTuber and did the whole project. It was like the first M1 iPad Pro. Nah, it was before that.
Yeah,
but it was one of the newer iPad, when the iPad Pro was a, I can do all my job with the iPad Pro movement was trying to happen. He basically used LumaFusion and did a project.
Right, and that's the thing. That's a whole other story of whether or not you can. But when it comes to editing, LumaFusion, you see what these guys have done with this. Granted, you have to know what you're doing, but it has what is it? Color grading. It has key framing. It has, come on, keep it coming. But
other buzzwords.
The thing that I noticed that was a big deal that you can't do with any online video editor is it does come with a few built-in LUTs. And what does LUT stand for?
Lookup table.
So this is all for matching your colors and stuff like that, right? So it comes with its own built-in LUTs. I think it has Filmic and one other, but you can import your own LUTs into it, and that's a big deal because you don't get that with mobile editors or online editors. So if you are serious about editing videos but you're not ready to jump full in with something like Final Cut or whatever, this is a really, really stout software. They've already got I will say this, I installed it yesterday. The interface is intuitive, it's easy to use, but it's not self-explanatory. So if you don't know what, caveat, when the tutorial popped up, I hit the skip button. So yeah, I just realized that that's probably why.
I closed it and I was like, I'm going to go back and watch this because while I don't need to really go edit stuff, like I want to make a golf video or something. Yeah. I want to do something silly just to use it and see what I get.
Yeah. So I started dragging things into the timeline and then all of a sudden I'm trying to scrub and I'm like, it won't move. So like I could clip, what's your frame up top where you see the video? What is that called? Is that just the preview? Yeah. So the preview, there's a bar there that I could click and scrub through, but I could not scrub the timeline. And Robbie's like, try shit. So yes, shift and scroll. And you can scroll back. So if you do the tortuga, if you do the tutorial, it's probably really user-friendly.
But it's super
helpful. I'm that guy. I scroll to the bottom and click accept. I don't care.
To be fair, I mean, if it's going to be a pro-level tool, there needs to be a learning curve.
You need to have some pro-level.
Right. Like it's silly background to think like, oh, this is going to be easy enough for anyone to ever use and put together their feature film. And it's going to take no work. Like, that's a silly thing to think. It's like saying, like, I'm going to hand you this guitar and it plays itself. And now you can play guitar. Like, sorry, there's a guitar over here.
Yes. I'm just like, I would buy that.
But I'm like, you didn't learn how to play guitar. That thing did it for you. I uploaded my stuff and it auto-created my movie. Like,
That's what Google's going for with the Google Photos thing. Hey, and that's great.
Have fun.
Yeah.
But this, what we're talking about is the ability to leverage your creative mind to make something.
Yeah.
And to do that in a semi-professional level, there's going to be a learning curve. It just always is. Because it doesn't matter if you do music,
if you want to do color grading and all that other stuff, you have to know what that is and how to do it. Because I mean,
like, it's like, cool, it does that. I don't know what to do with that. I'll just be moving stuff up and down, and I'm color deficient, so that wouldn't work. So
Robbie's videos all look really flat. I don't understand.
Why is there so much red? Wouldn't you think he'd remove it?
That's brown.
I don't see it.
So anyways, it is available, but here's the really awesome part is that retail LumaFusion is only $30. And that's not a subscription. That is lifetime purchase. You buy it, you can use it on up to 10 devices. If you go to the Play Store and download it now while it's in early access, it is $19. As soon as they roll out the official stable version, you will be updated automatically, and you will have a lifetime purchase of a really awesome video editor for $20. I pay more than that for some of the online editors that I've used.
Which, by the way, thank you, LumaTouch, which is a company that makes LumaFusion. Thank you guys for, A, building a desktop quality application, spending the time to do it right, launching it on Chromebooks the day that it came out, having the interface ready to go for Chromebooks, making sure that it works on Chromebooks from day one, and then saying, this is a good piece of software. We're not going to give it to you for 99 cents and then somehow cram ads down your throat or make you pay for every other feature in here. We're going to sell it to you good old school fashion. Here's what it cost. If you'd like to buy it, you may purchase it.
Thank you for doing that. Really ignorant question. Do apps on Apple have like tons of ads, like ad supported apps and stuff?
Oh, some of them do.
I mean, is it similar to the Play Store? I mean, yeah, like you get this and it's an ad every three rounds of whatever
and
you're
doing.
And
that forces you into maybe purchasing that ad free version or whatever.
So,
which is fine. It's
this is a professional software, and they're selling it to people who are willing to pay for professional.
Exactly.
And still, $20. If I don't care if you have a YouTube channel with 1,000 subscribers, it's worth every.
If you're
going
to keep making videos, and you'd like to use a Chromebook to do so and make YouTube videos, you need to spend $20.
Yeah, because what I understood,
you also need to go get a Chromebook that's going to be good at rendering all this stuff.
Yeah, what I understood Robbie to say was, if I get LumaFusion and I just drop my video in there, it's going to create an awesome video for me.
Yeah,
that's what you said.
You don't have to learn
anything.
That's
not true. You have to know what you're doing. But I can tell you this. I played with it for about 30 minutes yesterday. A lot of really good pre-made templates. They do have Storyblocks is built into it. You have to get a subscription for Storyblocks to get all their premium stuff. But there are quite a few free templates, videos, backgrounds, audio, stuff like that. But, I mean, you can go to Ben Sounds and get free royalty-free music, or you can get Epidemic Sound or whatever. So, but there's a lot of really good stuff in there. The only area I had a little trouble with was the effects. When I tried to click effects on a video track that I had in there, I clicked on one effect and it applied that effect to it. I couldn't find any place to remove the effect. There was no X, there was no remove, there was no undo, Control Z wasn't working. And when I clicked the effect, it literally would just apply the effect again. So like I applied like a swirl effect and then I applied it again and it swirled it even worse. So,
swirl the swirl,
and again,
please.
I didn't go through the tutorial, so I
did. You try the delete button?
Chromebooks don't have a delete button.
Shut backspace.
No.
search backspace.
I don't know. I didn't try the delete button.
But yeah, it's cool. I'm glad to see it's finally here. I personally, like for the things type of things I'm gonna do, I'm still looking forward to this long-awaited Google Photos Chromebook video editor.
It's overdue, isn't it?
Yeah, it should have been here by now. It's supposed to be here before LumaFusion, we thought, but it should be out soon. But to be able to do the real basic stuff. So imagine, you know, like some people need Final Cut, but a lot of people could just get by with iMovie.
Absolutely.
That's what we're talking here. LumaFusion is going to kind of be that more pro-ish level amount of controls and choices you can make. What's coming with Chromebooks and Google Photos, I think, will be more my speed.
Yeah, because I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of excited about this because I have a MacBook now. I'm kind of ashamed to admit, but I have a MacBook now, and the whole purpose of that MacBook was to have Final Cut and get better at using Final Cut, which I'm getting a little better. But now I'm just like, I'm excited at the prospect of being able to create Smoke and Cider videos and just edit them in LumaFusion on my Chromebook. I think that's going to be awesome.
The thing that's going to will be the probably the most important part of all of this, if you've edited video before, again, I'm not speaking from experience of editing said video, but waiting on the video to be done, is that export time. So the render and the export to see how
that's what we need to do. Yeah, I need to maybe tonight or tomorrow just make like a 8-minute video with some layers and some text and graphics and stuff, and just export it at 1080 and 4K. And LumaFusion does 4K, I assume. I would that'd be crazy if it didn't, but export it and see how long it takes.
Yeah, see what it does. Because that'll be probably the most important piece of all this is making sure that those times aren't just ridiculous. They're not going to be as fast as, you know, an M2 MacBook Pro. Let's be honest.
Really?
But you know, if they're within reason, yeah. Then for $20-$30, this is a reasonable thing for.
Yeah,
a
lot I mean, because there's a. I've been using which one have I been using lately? I've been using
Dragonfly.
No, yes, Dragonfly. But as far as some online editing stuff, I've been using WeVideo a little bit lately, and I've done a couple of those 4K, which it's not really 4K because the footage I'm putting into it isn't 4K. But I've been doing it just to see, and it's about 2:1.
Yeah,
which isn't horrible. So a 5-minute video takes about 10 minutes to export, process, download, and all that stuff. So
I killed our cast.
Why would you do that?
That's my fault.
That's the end of the Chromecast, everybody. Yep. So
close the book and it's over.
All right. So if you're looking for LumaFusion, some people have been having trouble finding it because when you search LumaFusion in the Play Store, there's two other LumaFusion, and they're literally just like somebody who's created a how-to app
with tips.
Tips, pro tips, like whatever. Make sure you're downloading the one from Luma Touch.
Yes,
should be the third one down. If you can't find it, just go to the article at chromeunbox.com. We'll link it in the show notes, and the link to the Play Store is in there. If it's not working for you, there are right now. I know Snapdragon devices; it will not install on those.
No, probably for good reason. So,
yeah,
let's remember what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
You know, if you're running a 5-year-old Chromebook with a small core Intel processor, like,
yeah, because this is, you know, Chromebooks are cloud centric, but this is not a cloud based app in any way whatsoever.
You're gonna need some processing power for this stuff, so plan accordingly.
All right, we got anything else on the list? We're gonna wrap it up.
I think that's it. Let's wrap it up.
All right, we'll save the rest of it for next week. Joe should be back hopefully, and he'll. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of cat herding today. It wasn't too bad. So.
No, we stayed on. We stayed on course.
I will mention, just because Joe's not here, I'll mention the forum. We are doing a giveaway. I don't know where we're at. I don't even know what we're giving away. We're giving
Duet
away.
Duet 3 still there.
We're giving away a Duet 3 when 6, we hit
6,000
subscribers on the Chromecast Podcast YouTube channel. If you didn't know that was a thing, the link will be in the show notes. This is on YouTube. Go over there and find us. It's a separate channel. It's just called.
It's actually if you're listening to this from the post on the website, it's embedded right there.
Yeah, we'll embed the video right there. So it is the Chromecast Podcast.
Yep.
Right.
If you search that, you will find it.
So 100%. Find that. Go down there. Click subscribe.
It'll help us get there.
Hit the notification bell so you get notifications. But the quicker you all help us get there, the quicker we get to give you stuff.
That giveaway is right at the top of our website.
Yep, there's a banner at the top.
On every page.
We have the Duet 3 to give away.
Yep.
And we have a bunch of smart clocks to give away.
Yep.
And we have other stuff waiting to give away.
There's another giveaway running. If you go to, it's on the podcast. If you go to the podcast category, you'll see Joe's last interview that we did.
Yes.
So the HP, the new HP X360
13B.
So it's a MediaTek Companion 1200. So it's a new chip from them, powered Chromebook.
Yep.
So top end ARM powered Chromebook. We're giving a new one of those away too.
Yeah. So just know that this is just, we just love doing this. A lot of our partners in the industry like to give us stuff to do whatever with, and we like to just give that to you all. So obviously we'd like to grow our channel and so more people can enjoy the content that we make, but we want to share all of this good stuff with you. We have so much stuff to give away. So check it out. Click the subscribe button, notification bell, tell your friend, all that stuff. So that's about it for this one. We'll catch you next time.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunboxed.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.